I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading today is from Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with your fathers when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each man teach his neighbor and each brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. May the Lord bless the reading of His holy scriptures.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the reading. Our text tells us God will forgive us and will remember our sin no more. It also tells us that God has made a covenant with us, unlike the one that He made with our forefathers, those who came before us. And how will it be unlike the one that He made with those who came before us? It will be different in that it will be in us. It won't be a law that we're going to read up on the wall and say, oh yeah, that's it. It's going to already be here. It's already going to be inside of us. The way our text puts it, I will put my law within them and I will write it upon their hearts and I will be their God and they shall be my people. I wonder if sometimes we forget that that is written on our hearts. I mean, wow, that should make it tough to forget, right? If it's written on your heart, if the law is in you, shouldn't that be really hard to forget? But the truth is, we do forget. Not only do we forget our covenant with God, but we forget our mission, our commission from Christ. If I were to ask you the why of our church ministries, what would you say it is? What is the why of it? If I were to ask you the why of telling others about our church, what would you say it is? Do we have our ministries so we can get people? Is that really what it's about, is so we can go out and say, we want you to be a member. Come on, we want you to be in our church. Is that what it's about, is numbers? Do we have to tell people about our church so that we can get them to come? Is that the why of it? I had this discussion with Glenn, and we talked about the why of things. And sometimes we forget the why. I hope that it's not about numbers. That's right. I truly hope that it is not the reason, the why, of our ministries and evangelism. I would like for everyone to hear these words. The why of what we do is to feed others spiritually. If we are about helping others spiritually, we are on the right track. But if we're all about numbers, God help us. And here's why. If we cannot feed others spiritually, they will not want to be a member. They'll stay away. If we invite people and we bring and we fill this sanctuary, but we are not feeding them spiritually, they're going to go right back out the door. That's what happens when we lose the why of what we do. If, however, we are uplifting them, feeding them spiritually, they will not want to leave, ever. If they come in because they know that we are a fellowship, that we're a welcoming people, that we truly care about them and not just about them sitting in a pew, they're more willing to stay because that's what they want, fellowship. They want to know that we're here for them. They want to know that we are about them, not about their number. Luke 17, 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then said Jesus, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." You see, Jesus was about healing. He was about taking care of them spiritually. He didn't say, "Now you're a Samaritan, and what I want you to do is change who you are and be like me. I did it because that's what God does as God reaches out to God's children." There's several things to note here. First, these lepers were outcast. Certainly not your mainstream folks. Second, the one who returned was a Samaritan. Remember who the Samaritans were? Samaritans were detested by the Jews. Detested. And when Jesus would go near Samaritans, even his disciples said, "What are you doing? These are the wretched of the earth." And keep in mind, Jesus was a Jew. And yet he cleansed him and received thanks only from the Samaritan. Keep that in mind. How did Jesus recruit? Next, let us look at how Jesus felt toward the Romans. You know, the oppressors of the Jews, the war machine, the destroyers of Jerusalem. Matthew 8, 5 through 11. As he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, beseeching him and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home in terrible distress." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion answered, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Do this,' and he does it. And to another, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, 'Come,' and he comes." When Jesus heard him, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and sit at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. There men will weep and gnash their teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, be it done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed that very moment. Jesus healed his servant, a Roman centurion, yet another hated person by the Jews, certainly not friendly to his disciples. Not only did he heal his servant, he confirmed the centurion's faith in him. Now that's powerful. Again, keep that in mind. You know, we have requirements. Do you know there's requirements to be a Christian? Have you ever heard the words of Jesus and what is required of us? Look how Jesus is living it out. If you remember what it is, watch how Jesus lives this out. So Jesus has healed lepers and only received thanks from the Samaritan. And he healed the servant of a Roman centurion who had more faith in Jesus than even some of his disciples. Why? Why did he do that? They weren't Jews. Well, let's read on. Mark 5, 1 through 13. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gerasene. And when he had come out of the boat, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, even with a chain, For he had often been found and bound with fetters and chains. But the chains he wrenched apart, and the fetters he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and bruising himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him eagerly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of swine was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, "Send us to the swine, let us enter them." So he gave them leave, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. And now Jesus heals a man called Legion, who is possessed with demons. Certainly not someone that would welcome you or I. Probably not someone we would take to immediately, if ever. Sounds like a rather wretched man, does he not? So again, from all that you heard so far about the ministry of Jesus, that he healed lepers, one being a Samaritan, that he healed the servant of a Roman centurion, and by doing so confirmed the centurion's faith in him, and he healed a rather unpleasant man named Legion, who was full of demons, what do you think? What do you think? What is the why of what we do? Why do we do it? Because we like them? Because we agree with them? Is that why we do it? I only want people in the church that I can agree with. And if I don't like the way they do, then I have nothing to do with them. I don't think Jesus agreed with what Rome was doing. I don't think Jesus agreed with the lepers who did not return and were unwilling, to give thanks to God. I don't think God or Jesus agreed with a man being full of spirits, so many that he was called legions. But the legion is in all of us. That legion to be diametrically opposed to Jesus. We all have that urge inside of us. There is that part of us that is not necessarily in line with Christian beliefs. The thing is we want to believe that it is. We want to believe that it's okay for us to hate and to dislike because that's where we're comfortable. We want to believe that it's okay not to go outside the doors and bring people in. It's okay. We have our church. We got our people here. We're good. That's what we want to believe, but the truth is we are to be out and bringing in people, not necessarily people that we even like, not necessarily people that we think are our kind of people. What is your kind of people? I'm willing to bet we can look around this sanctuary and we might see people around us that we don't think are our kind of people, but we've learned to live with them. So, what do you think? Well, let me rephrase and begin with this. If God has put his law in us and written his covenant on our hearts, and if Jesus is God's word in the flesh and did his heavenly Father's will in all respects, all of which I personally believe, and if we are to feed God's people spiritually, which is the why of any ministry of Jesus Christ, from what we've read, whom should we feed? Whom should we feed? We know we're going to do it, right? We're all going to help. We're all going to feed spiritually, but who should we feed spiritually? Notice Jesus did not go back to Nazareth and bring his friends and family into the fellowship of believers. He did not go to familiar places and to people his disciples or even the Jewish community would approve of, but to the very people who needed to be fed spiritually in society, to the ones who needed the food, the spiritual food. We don't get to hear much more about the centurion, but he was a believer. We don't get to hear about all the other lepers, but somewhere in life, I'm sure they're looking back. They were looking back and saying, oh my gosh, I should have gone back and thanked him. I can't believe what's happened to me. I'm clean. I've been an outcast my whole life. And Legion, we don't hear any more about him, but we know he doesn't have any more demons. Not people that we would normally think of bringing in, but Jesus did. So, the outcast, the disenfranchised, the downtrodden, the rejects, the unloved and unwanted, that is who Jesus went to. That is who he fed spiritually. And why? Because God's law was in him, and God's covenant was written upon his heart. And what is that law? Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. That's the law that's in us. Well, there's the law that is supposed to be in us. Now, what is the covenant? No longer shall each man teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. There's the covenant. Amen. Whom shall we feed? Perhaps we should ask our church growth evangelism committee. But wait, why should we ask them? After all, we are all disciples of Christ, whether in name as a denomination and in fact, if we accept Jesus Christ. The followers of Christ, are we not? It is the responsibility of each and every one of us to feed those around us spiritually, not to hate or resent. If we allow our church growth and evangelism committee alone to do the work of feeding others spiritually, we have failed to rise to our calling. We have failed to accept that which is in us and written on our hearts. We may be uncomfortable inviting someone from Randy Sam's or in a neighborhood we deem unworthy, but our Lord shook everyone to their very roots by doing exactly that. He ministered to everyone, just everyone. The Jews didn't like it. Many in high society didn't like it. In fact, at times, even his own disciples didn't like it. But it was a matter of following God's word, not man's. Remember what he said to Peter? You think like man, not like God. He had God's heart for people, not man's arrogance. Remember, God won't ask what kind of car you drove, but will ask how many people you drove who didn't have transportation. God won't ask the square footage of your house, but he will ask how many people you welcomed into your home. God won't ask about the fancy clothes you had in your closet, but will ask how many of those clothes helped the needy. God won't ask about your social status, but will ask what kind of class you displayed. God won't ask how many promotions you received, but will ask how you promoted others. God won't ask what you did to help yourself, but will ask what you did to help others. God won't ask how many friends you had, but will ask how many people to whom you were a true friend. God won't ask what you did to protect your rights, but will ask what you did to protect the rights of others. God won't ask in what neighborhood you lived, but will ask how you treated your neighbors. God won't ask about the color of your skin, but will ask about the content of your character. Are you ready to take on possibly the greatest evangelical ministry that Central Christian Church has ever had? If so, then you do need to visit our Church Growth and Evangelism Committee, because they're starting something that is amazing. The chair, Jack Carter, and all the people on it are starting to reach out to people. And they're going to make sure that they get these people, not because of numbers, but to minister to them spiritually, to reach out and to say, this is everything we have to offer for you. And if you join, that's great, but if you don't, we still want to minister to you. But this isn't something that the Evangelism and Church Growth Committee can do by itself. It has to be an effort of the whole entire church. We all have to be on board with it. If we're all part of this ministry, we're all going to benefit in ways we can't even imagine. I would like the members of the Church Growth and Evangelism Committee to stand, if you would, please. I don't want to embarrass, but I need you to stand. You need to hear what these people have to say. They were in a meeting the other night that's the best that I've seen in the church. Thank you for standing. This is one of the best meetings I've ever heard. They're on board. They're ready to go forward. What they need is you to get on board with them. Remember, if you were not raised in the church, how did you get here? Who brought you? What brought you into this church? If you have an answer to that, then you have something to offer this committee. They want to know, what brought you here? If you were invited, have you invited someone? A lot of good questions. There are requirements. We like to think that when we become a Christian, well, that's it. I'm a Christian now. I can go to church if I want to, stay home, do whatever I want to do because I'm a Christian. But no, you have that law in you, and it's written on your heart. You are to feed those around you spiritually. Your family, your friends, your neighbors. That's what we do. And so when we go back to this scripture and we look at everything that Jeremiah tells us, Jeremiah tells us that we are forgiven. And in being so forgiven, we are to go out and to forgive others, not hold grudges, not even dislike, but love. And no longer shall each man teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. It's a great way to start out. Being loved, being forgiven. Let's join in an effort, in a great commission, to go out beyond the walls of this church and to reach out to others and to feed them spiritually. That's why. And if that brings numbers, that's great. But if it doesn't, you have still done a great ministry. And the Lord knows that you're living out the Great Commission. Let us pray. Loving God, we come before you all too often disappointing you, knowing that we haven't always done what you would have us to do, and oftentimes taken our baptism and our teaching of your law and of your commission too lightly. May we remember in our hearts and in our minds that you are a part of our lives every day, and that you call us to do your work, to go out to others as your Son did, and heal them and love them and forgive them. For we ask this in your holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.